This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. How's it going? Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here at 75 and Fitzhugh. He has a Rangers championship hat on. And I'm enjoying the last few days of, you know, being defending champs. Maybe, what, another 5-6 weeks here? Being able to say that.
Yeah.
Reigning champions, if you will. Rangers baseball back tonight, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 first pitch. They are in Oakland, and CY is going to join us at 4:20. It'll be our last conversation of the year. Maybe last conversation till the toy drive.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to him about how the season's gone and what he's hoping to do in the winter and all that. That's coming up at 4:20, Rangers fans. Of course, you have Wolchuk and Schiafalo, your nosebleed brothers. And you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video, and you can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. The tragic comedy known as G-Bag Survivor continued last night. Unbelievable. Commanders, they looked pretty good. They go down the field, get some big scores there in the second half, and win kind of convincingly against a Bengals team that, you know, was one of the picks to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs there in the AFC.
Desperate team.
They are now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it's just amazing that all four of us are going to be doing bet payoffs. This usually doesn't even have the chance of happening until late in the season when all the good teams that are obviously going to win are off the board. But, you know, I thought we were playing really good likelihoods of victory, and it's just been upset mania. So you get a quadruple bet payoff coming up on Friday for the first time in G-Bag Nation history.
Yeah, man. This is as gut-wrenching of – like, I'm now – this just – it you lose your excitement for the season now. You start to look ahead just like, how many times am I just going to be taking L's? Bengals, a 7-point favorite at home last night. Desperate team. As desperate as you can get against a quarterback who's never thrown a touchdown pass in the NFL. And then all he did, it felt like, was throw touchdowns on you or run them. And you're a touchdown favorite at home. Niners, 6.5 points. Bucks, 6.5 points. Browns, 6.5 points. Raiders, 5 points. All favorites, all take the L. Like, how do you – we might as well be flipping coins in here for the teams we're picking for Survivor. I was thinking about it today.
I know.
I woke up and I was like, should I just leave this up to – because what do I know?
Just draw names out of a hat.
I don't know.
That's
squat.
The team I'm taking.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't bet on Carolina. There's a handful of teams I just wouldn't. But, I, you know, going against them is not tried and true right now because they can wake up and beat somebody. I think Jaden Daniels is fun to watch. That's part of the good news. And then the other part of the good news is – I could see Washington beating the Cowboys quite easily.
Yeah.
You know, I have to consider that maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 wins is in play.
Mm. Maybe, for the Cowboys?
Yeah, maybe a,
I was on DallasCowboys.com today with the break. We had to do our picks. I picked the Giants.
Yeah. I like what you're doing there.
You should pick the Giants for Survivor. Then I know I'll be good for Friday, at least this week.
You know what? I think it's Survivor. It's got to the point where I'm going to get down to week 16, and I'm going to have to, because I'm going to have to do every one of the payoffs. I'm just going to hand you guys each $100 bill.
Yeah, you know, when it's all said and done.
It's like, I'm so tired of, like,
you're beaten and battered.
Yeah,
season.
I can't do this anymore. Here's $500. Just get out of my life.
The attrition of the season has really taken its toll on you.
Yeah, but no, I picked the Giants to win.
What was your score?
26-23.
If the Giants win, I mean, that's just, I know it sucks, but we know this season's not going anywhere. You're picking inside the top 10, maybe. You could start thinking about getting a real blue chip player, a guy that could dominate for you.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely, in the top 10, you're getting the best guard if that's what you need to do. I don't know if they would, but... You know, looks like they got another year on the hook with Terrence Steele, but a great tackle, great corner, great wide receiver. That's I can't believe we're talking about that. We got 14 games to go, but yeah. That's as good as you can spin it.
Yeah, that's the running joke in the Twitter world with my group is that when they lose like they lost the other day, it's when are we firing up the draft show?
They lose to the Giants like you're picking them to. Yeah. I'm firing up the draft show.
You're going to start early? You're going to go early?
Yeah, I'll start scanning because this thing's over.
You guys should send a message. A Monday, you should come in and do a draft show, not even do whatever your normal content is. That's the message you should be sending.
Just go ahead and do that.
Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? lose to the Giants?
I you know what? I know we'll get into them today. Their skill's legit.
Yeah,
they got, you know, adding.
Well, they have
the
a
runner.
Superhuman. It feels like do they have wide
any,
receiver.
Do they have any of the other common factors that beat the Cowboys? I mean, what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking that their ability to with Singletary to run the ball, the quarterback runs the ball.
Yeah,
if you know, you get a situation where the last 2 weeks, what have you done? The opposing quarterback hasn't had to throw the ball at all.
Now, what about their defense, though? The Cowboys have run up points against them over the years.
Yeah, but do you trust Mike McCarthy's first 15 plays to get you anything going, to go in the right direction? Might be down 14-0 before you get to the seventh play.
Yes, it's worked four seasons. I mean, I could bring up the scores of what they've done to them.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Their offense doesn't work against good defenses, but against the Giants, they rolled.
I trusted it exactly against
but
the Giants.
The Giants that's,
it's
the
just
Giants,
it's the Giants.
The G-men.
The Giants have legitimately, though, Thibodeau has gotten better. Burns is going to, and you know, BB playing against that monster inside.
Dexter Lawrence, yeah.
It's going to be a tough. BB's a good player, but that, I mean, I watched this guy get sack after sack as defensive tackle. They play nickel, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, wow, look at him compress the pocket there. Like the center for the Browns. I mean, my gosh, that guy had no shot. So I don't know. I just, Dallas has got a lot of issues. And I don't know if all of a sudden in 5 days everything's going to be all hunky-dory.
No, I like it. I mean, they got to go on the road. They're one of the worst teams in football. I just don't know where that is. Is that 24th? Is that 28th?
Until you prove to me that you could stop the run, and you could get out of your first 15 plays and drive the ball again and not be massively behind by halftime, I'm going to pick the opponents every single time now.
And the other part of it is you can't run and they know it. You know, there's no running from it. There's no hiding from it. And you can't overwhelm them in other parts of the game like you've been able to in the past.
Right.
So I just think they're incredibly beatable. If the Giants can do it, I will not be surprised. If the Commanders could do it, we'd get really excited about where they could end up picking at the end of this season. And, you know, maybe get the kind of wholesale changes. And then you hope. Do you think there's any way if they do turn over their coaching staff, they could get somebody more modern, you know? You have to get out of Jerry's cabinet where he likes to go, you know, consult with the crusties and get somebody that's been to a Super Bowl before and think of, you know, young coordinator. Look at Detroit, Houston, New Orleans. I mean, there's a handful of them out there possibly, and we've talked about it so much. Like, it's a big narrative right now. It's not one of those things that, like, just the film guys or the analytic guys are, like, saying, hey, look at how good motion works. It's out there now in a big way. I don't know. Maybe the Jones boys would actually, you know, have the light bulb come on this time around.
Well, the one thing we know is they will make a change if the team quits on the coach. Because we've seen that happen. That's the only time.
Yeah.
That's the only time. Now, you know, does that give them enough time to audition Bones Fossil or audition Al Harris, you know, much like they did with Garrett? But it also gives them the opportunity. And I'm sure Jerry will be consulting with Bill Belichick and talking to him. And can Steven and Jerry, or excuse me, can Steven and Will, I keep saying this, I don't think they necessarily want Bill Belichick walking through that door. But Jerry might sure want him walking through that door.
Yeah.
So
at some point, somebody's got to get uncomfortable in there. You know?
Yeah. I would bet on it being somebody more like Belichick.
Me too.
Than a young guy who kind of breaks the mold. But, you know, there's a chance.
Yeah. Vrabel, somebody that's been a head coach before.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if they lose to the Giants. I'm just not. I don't see that happening. I think they're going to be just fine. And maybe they win ugly, and maybe they just are really bad, which could be true. They'll find a way. The Giants, I don't think, are a very competent team either. Like, I saw Daniel Jones. We saw it 2 years ago on the opener. Was running. First drive. They go all the way down the field.
Sure.
Cowboys stiffen up. They get the blocked field goal. Return for a touchdown. Yeah. They stop. Like, the Giants are a team that just shoots themselves in the foot pretty regularly. So, I think they'll be okay. But overall, I hear what you're saying, but Jerry's making the final say. So, I would be stunned if they went somebody that doesn't already have an established head coaching resume.
Agreed.
And got a sexy name like Ben Johnson or whatever guy you want to throw out there.
Yeah, because he doesn't want somebody learning on the job or whatever. Well,
you know what
I'm
you
sure
have to
he feels
do.
That now more than ever.
You better find a way to help your quarterback. And that's the first question that they need to ask.
There you go.
You know, if you're the head coach, are you the primary play caller? Who's your offensive coordinator if you're not the primary play caller? You know, what's your background on, you know, how do you feel about, you know, you got to ask them a bunch of questions about how they feel about, your offense because you're married to a wide receiver. You're married to this quarterback. You're going to be married to some offensive linemen. Better figure out some things for your offense.
Yeah. You know, I'd hand it over to Will McClay and Dak. You guys go find a head coach. I want hardworking people who are plugged in.
They do that, you know? Then you got a shot at thinking outside the box.
Yeah. Jerry on the Fan this morning asked about bringing up the running back, Dalvin Cook. He said, I don't think it's time that you have any real serious roster adjustments in that particular time. I don't think so because of the short week for sure. So we'll have to keep waiting for Dalvin Cook. I'm not sure what they're waiting for exactly, but I just don't think they want to displace anybody that's in there right now. Like, Rico has maybe earned the shot. Well, he's the youngest guy. Zeke's a legend. You know, Vaughn.
You can move on from Zeke. Zeke, you know, you've got guys that could take over the role of Zeke. You know,
you don't think he's got Jason Witten status right now?
Oh, I'm just saying.
His snap counts did decrease quite a bit in this last game.
Me personally, I would hand the ball to Hunter Lipke before I'd hand it to Zeke right now.
Totally, dude.
I mean,
I'm with you.
You start to talk about blitz pickups. Maybe wheel routes and stuff for Deuce Vaughn, get him involved that way. You don't need to be playing that number 15 anymore.
Well, I mean, you could have made that conclusion at about halftime of the first game, but they've continued for two games
could
more.
Could have made that conclusion at training camp.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they haven't moved on. I think there's favoritism. And, you know, this is what happens when your organization, as a course of how they go about business, doesn't put winning first. You know, weird symptoms pop up like this where all of a sudden what people want to do because it's comfortable, because they know Zeke and they know Vaughn and they know Dowdle and they think they owe it to them. If people are comfortable enough to do that because the demand for winning isn't strong, who knows what else could be going on? That's just laughable right there. You know, if they're serious about getting this thing turned around and, you know, being a viable, balanced offense, you have to get a different runner in here. And the fact that they aren't, I think... It, you know, makes people's stomachs turn because it's not only the fact that you don't have a running back, it's that you don't have a front office that cares enough about winning to move on from guys that they like. You know, they did the same crap with Jason Witten I guess we can hope Dalvin Cook's better, right, Brian? You watched the film a couple weeks back.
Yeah, and I asked somebody about Dalvin Cook and I said, hey, is he ready to go? And he said, yeah, there's nothing holding him back. So, yeah, whenever they're ready for the elevation, then they can sure do that. But I to me, there's no question. I take 15 off the field how I would do it. And because I think everybody else can help you. Now, I'm not taking people off the field I think can help you.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they talk about Zeke being the pass protector that he is. But now we're seeing other guys Dattles, can do that too.
Yeah, Dowdle can do it. I mean, Hunter Lipke, when they went no huddle, what happened is they started switching Hunter Lipke and Dowdle and then, you know, back and forth. Three receivers on, three receivers off. Switch the backs up, you know, stay in, blitz protect, all that stuff. Yeah, there's ways to do this. And they showed it the other day in the end of the third quarter and then through the fourth. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Mike McCarthy needs to seriously think about his first 15, maybe not even just go in no huddle. You know, just come out, just go no huddle and, you know, and just try get some kind of rhythm with his offense. Because right now, you take the ball and you throw the ball to the flat to Rico Dowdle for like a 1 yard gain.
What are we doing?
And you're like going, okay, well, what kind of, you know.
That's like first in your progression, right? Yeah, it's like that's the guy, that the play's drawn up to go 1 yard.
I don't quite understand that. Maybe he's really nervous about his offensive line.
Do you believe what Favre says today? He says he has Parkinson's at a congressional hearing about the whole deal with him taking money. He said he may have had hundreds, if not thousands, of concussions during his career.
Yep.
Seems like one of those things you could be doing for a sympathy ploy here at this point in your deal, especially as the investigators are circulating. But at the same time, wouldn't surprise me if he's got, you know, Parkinson's, CTE, stuff like that. I think a rather high percentage of former players believe they have something neurological wrong with them in one way or another.
And a lot of them do, but, you know, that still doesn't absolve the fact that you stole from people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, man. I wore a Super Bowl ring because of you. Thank you so much for everything you've done, but I thought you were a better person than that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's an all-timer.
And there's a lot of evil people and bad people out there, man. A lot of people that steal from others, and that's the unfortunate that, you know, that guy was so much a part of my life, and now you look at it and you're like, man, why are you so bad?
Yeah.
Why are you so bad?
And geez, the fact that you're asking, like, is this guy maybe looking for sympathy by saying he's got Parkinson's and he maybe doesn't speaks for itself. Because I would be like, hell no, why would you even lie about that? But then again, when you look at what's happened over the last 2 years, he's lied about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's lost all his credibility.
Yeah.
Is that the last card in the pocket of lies? Like, that's the last thing you have before you just have nothing left? Like, well, I got Parkinson's.
Is he going to use that as a defense of why he did what he did?
Yeah, it's messed up.
You know, that's probably the card that he's trying to play right there. Make people the man was a great player, and you know it, but you know, to do what he did was completely wrong.
Oklahoma's going to start Frisco Emerson's Michael Hawkins Jr. versus Auburn, so that's cool. A little local tie-in. Flagtober 24 is approaching. It kickoffs Saturday across DFW, and you can see the entire schedule right now at GBag Nation is our Twitter page. All of our handles are in the bio. You can follow us all up when you get there. Okay, coming up next, well, Chuck, what's in store?
That's a fantastic question. You want to do some C-Note? We'll do some Cowboys news of the day here. That's next in the Nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. G-Bag of the Day coming up in just over 6 minutes. Here's Wolchuk, some sports.
Saw this from Cowboys PR. This is the first time the Cowboys are playing a road game on 3 days of rest or fewer. Every other time they've played on a Thursday after a Sunday, it's been at home. So every other NFL team has played at least 6 road games on short rest. This is going to be the Cowboys' first one ever. So they're due for this. Can't feel sorry for them. They're going to have to figure this one out. But that is pretty interesting. Usually it ends up being Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then they get a full week and they play the Thursday the next week at home, but didn't get that this year.
I think some owners have kind of stepped up and said, hey, what Dallas has this advantage. You know, they're getting games during Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving and all that stuff like that. I think the league forever was grateful for them for doing it, playing on Thanksgiving. And now it's like, oh, man, they have like a competitive advantage doing this. You know, and so. Anyway, I think some owners have stepped up and said, we're not going to let you do that anymore.
Yeah, the Cowboys had a wink-wink kind of handshake deal where they were going to play the Thanksgiving games and, you know, the following Thursday game, and it kind of worked, but apparently the end of that is up. And I do think it's a significant deal because being the road team on a Thursday is, I think, massive. It has the potential to put you in an energy state where you have your biggest egg of the season laid.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, the best thing is you're playing a divisional opponent.
They usually
you're familiar
are.
With.
They usually that's what the NFL has done.
Yeah,
give you that common opponent, so the things don't go look all crazy. Yeah. You know, when you're, but sometimes you get some pretty good matchups. But these Thursday night games have been a little rough for the teams that are the visitors.
Hopefully, the Cowboys go in there and they're 2-2 following this one. Mm. Now we've got the power rankings that are out. And ESPN did them with also the biggest issue on offense. Where do you think they put the Cowboys? They
are offensive line?
Just you can give me what you think their biggest issue on offense is, but just overall where they rank in the power rankings.
Oh, they ranked. I'm sorry.
You go with both.
Explosive plays, okay. I would say, is their biggest issue.
Oh, there you go. Good
and
call.
And then they're probably 21st.
What, in explosive plays?
No. I'm talking about just in their
21
rankings.
21 in the power rankings, and he thinks the biggest offensive issue is explosive plays.
I think Dallas is probably 23, and I think that the explosive plays makes a lot of sense. The explosives on defense? Are you saying
giving up
saying,
too many?
Yeah, are you saying the offenses?
Yeah, we're talking about the
because it's specifically
offense.
Just the biggest issue on offense.
Yeah. On offense, my bad.
Yeah.
Running game, 25th.
Yeah. Well, Todd Archer does say it's the running back by committee, but I do think the explosive plays are definitely a massive issue as well.
And there's chicken and egg there a little bit.
No doubt. Next gen stats is the Cowboys picking up minus 74 rushing yards over expected through 3 games. Third worst in the league behind the Bears and Dolphins, which is pretty surprising that the Dolphins are listed there, but I guess they're also dealing with a ton of injuries. In addition, you've got the lack of attempts because they're getting so far behind, and that's what the Cowboys front office clearly wants you to believe, is we're just not being able to run the football enough.
Sure.
So we don't know. I mean, this could be an awesome running game. We just haven't been able to see any of it.
How much optimism do you have with the combination of Dowdle and Lipke instead of Zeke and Vaughn? I guess that makes
that
me
would,
about...
That would give... that at least you have the ability, the physicality that you get with Lipke. He can make some people miss. And maybe, you know, he's one of those guys that tends to fall forward when he runs. So you could get, you know, you could probably average 4.5 with him. Maybe a little bit more. He's got a kind of a slashing running style for a big guy, but he knows how to hit gaps and make people miss. So I would not have a problem with it. The people get on him about the fumble and stuff like that, and that hurt against Miami last year. But, you know, he's proven to be more worthy. These games that they've lost the last two, he's actually been a plus player for you when you watch what he does and as many special teams plays as he plays for you as well. I mean, this guy's worth more than anything you have right now.
He's a good player. And, I mean, that's basically what he did at North Dakota State. He was the running back. I mean, so he's a guy that certainly can do that. Now, the Cowboys rank 16th here. They're down from 14, two spots. They're right ahead of Arizona, the Rams, and they actually had Washington at 19. I think I would definitely put the Commanders over the Cowboys right now. Watching Jaden Daniels last night, I'm like, how the hell are the Cowboys going to stop him? I don't think they are.
Yeah. No.
That's going to be like an RG3 type game. Again, like they're going to get their ass kicked by Washington. Do they play on Thanksgiving again this year? Because this is going to haunt me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's going to ruin a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they do.
Efforting.
Yeah, I've got like the pocket schedule. How about that?
Oh, the pocket schedule. I love the pocket schedule.
It looks like to me the Commanders on the 24th. That's a Sunday.
Okay, so the Sunday before
Thanksgiving. And then you play, and then you got them at home on the last game of the year.
Whew, okay. All right, so at least you don't have to go to Washington the last game of the season. You get them in our house this year, but that might not end up being any better. Fast turf.
late games in the season, chances are. Not that I'm rooting for it, but he'll be hurt.
Okay,
he got hit pretty good last night, didn't he?
Okay, did
he
get
hit a lot?
That was the story on him. He did slide a couple.
And Dan Quinn was so happy; he was cheering. He's like, "That's my guy. Good job." He just needs to get that down. If he can slide, this kid's going to be special. But I just hate the team he plays for so much. I'm like, I'm not rooting for that by any means. But if you just missed the Cowboy games, I wouldn't be upset about it.
But think about Dan Snyder and think about how cool it is for every time the Commanders win or Jaden Daniels does something cool. It's kind of like sticking it to Dan Snyder.
Stick it to Dan.
There's something that's just silver lining. I'm trying to go glass half full here.
No, I like that.
If this is a Commanders pop-up year.
I like that.
I mean, he's making third down throws at the sticks. He's making the ball over the top to McLaurin.
The fourth down.
Of the end
it's
zone.
Fourth down. Cincinnati's got a chance to get off the field. It's like, here you go. Jaden Daniels, boom. Ice in his veins. No problem.
How about Austin Eckler being on their team? Cajones. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
Eckler
another
started
one.
The game hot.
That's
Brian Robinson Jr. is running the ball well. That offensive line, I mean, it seemed like he had all day to throw.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was maybe.
Well, Bengals got no pass rush.
I mean, it's probably a combination of Cincinnati's not very good, but the offensive line's playing better than we thought they were.
That well Henderson's said. Bad.
Time now for the G-bag of the day. Into the pimp cup. Here's Lucius.
Yeah, what's going on? Everything and everybody's. Sisters, y'all all right? Fellas, how you doing?
Hello.
All right.
Copium.
Copium?
Yep. It's a Copium Tuesday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel you, dog.
Got a joke about it, you know?
I feel you. You got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
That's where you get paid the big bucks, dog.
That's right.
All right. Our winner right here for day two is Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
The NBA basketball player with the funny laugh. He was recording some a skateboarder. Now, who is it? You found out who the skateboarder was there, Dawson.
Yeah, I think he's that Brazilian dude. I'll get back over here again.
Brazilian.
Tiago? Yeah, Tiago or something like that.
Let me get some Brazilian music for the Brazilian. There we go. All right, yeah. He was recording a Brazilian skateboarder jump over a table at a park, and Kawhi Leonard was very excited about it. You can tell.
Hey! That guy. Look at him.
Look at him.
There you go. Two in a row. That's how you finish it.
That's how you finish it.
That's when the marketing person's like, okay, he's going to skateboard and he's going to jump over this picnic table. Just be excited about it. You know?
Hey.
But you don't want to be fake.
Hey!
You did it.
Ooh. I just like how he used all of his breath. That guy. He used all of his breath, man.
That self-fade out there at the end is just spectacular.
Jason Kelce. Pretty sure he was about two or three beers deep. He was on Monday at all times, right?
Yeah.
He was on Monday Night Countdown with Scott Van Pelt, who looks kind of weird when you see him at night after the games.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, what's going on with this guy? I say that respectfully, Scott.
He's cool.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
But he's strange to look at.
Yep.
Hey! Ryan Clark was not feeling it. Here we go.
Jason, when you start pushing them, and they can't stop you, that has to be the most
you did not
the,
have the to best ask feeling him there a is. Question like that.
Yeah, I'm just asking. He is, well, he was smiling.
There's
real
nothing
big
more
made,
I love than made, pushing it on another grown man and just taking it over. Yes, Scott, you are absolutely correct.
So that's more.
Yeah, there is no greater feeling than when you're taking over the line of scrimmage as an offensive lineman.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, that's how. It's been fun watching the last couple weeks.
Yeah guys, this might be the last one for me.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He's Jamie Foxx and they're Jerry Jones.
That's it for me. I think I realize where I'm at now.
Out of here now.
All right, let's see here. Hall of Famer Chris Arnold. You guys played this yesterday. It was in the pre-game for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Here on 105.3 The Fan. Chris gave a pre-game update on Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's games kicking off right now, so let me go ahead and give the Tolo some of these inactives and updates.
Yes.
Active and inactive. Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love is not going to come on the field and warm up. Okay.
It's good for him. It's good for everybody. That's good for everybody. Okay. We're all winning on Sunday.
He's not
going
to make his return to the field. How about that? Is that a better way to put it?
That's a better way.
He learned from Deshaun Watson's mistake. You know, you observe others.
It is Sunday.
I love when we saw CA last night. He came running in with a full explanation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It's smeared right here on the paper. That's what I was trying to show you. When the printer, see, they need a new printer cartridge in there. That's what it is. The new printer cartridge. I couldn't read that right part right there. All right, let's go to Sage Steele. Sage Steele.
Oh! You got another Sage?
Sage Steele. She had Ari Spears on her show. She asked him what is his favorite. I guess impersonation he can do, or his best, or whatever. I don't know. Here we go.
What's your best impersonation? Your favorite.
Anything that's new feels like a new child. But I love Tony Soprano because one, it's a white guy, Italian, and nobody expects you to do that. Ask me a question,
Tony. What did you do with the body?
Like, what's the matter? What I did with the body? All the guys are gonna bury it. Show pussy Christopher. They know their position. I'm from the King of New Jersey. I run a underbush. Uncle Junior Johnny Shack. Maybe you can bury it behind a bottle of pig. It doesn't matter. It goes where the say it goes.
Oh my God. Like, I'm watching your mouth when you do it. Is that the key?
Like, yeah, like I said, notes. Tony is ish. Talk about my sister Janish. Uncle Junior Johnny Shack. So then you gotta have that metal at AJ. We go down to Arvio, Asubios, Arvio, Kabukas. He's got the better guy with the good grave.
What?
That's a different language you just spoke.
That's good.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I really want to go watch The Sopranos now.
Gosh, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
It's so damn good.
Rest in peace, James Gandolfini.
His sister, Janice, maybe one of the worst characters in TV history. My gosh, Janice. Yeah. Ugh.
His mom.
They said he had a hell of a dinner that night, too, right? James Gandolfini. They said he had a whopper of a dinner that night.
Yeah, went swimming, and that was it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
He said don't go swimming after you.
Careful, bro. You got to be careful out here, man.
What do you say, Lucius? Time to vote?
Sure, buddy.
Is it the champ Kawhi Leonard? He's a fun guy watching skateboarders. Is it Mr. Two Drink Minimum Jason Kelce there with SVP? SVP is a unique dude. You got to be to survive that ESPN firing squad every year. They come after about
every
half their staff.
Every single year, dog.
Okay, SVP,
my man,
you can
Scott
stay
in. Five in the game too. He pops up at night. You're like, oh, there he's still there.
I moved to Washington. I'm still here.
Hey, good for you, dog.
He's definitely got some Adam Silver in his game.
Is it the three-time Hall of Famer CA talking about Jordan Love not arriving to the destination, or is it Sage Steele with comedian Ari Spears there asked about his best impersonation? And that's my vote, Chief.
Same here, man. That was awesome.
Oh, Kawhi Leonard.
Wolchuk?
I'll go with the Tony Soprano impersonation.
Brian?
It is.
One for Chris Arnold.
by a score of 3-1-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. It's comedian Ari Spears there on the Sage Steel podcast. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, Chief, where are you taking us?
College Football Tuesday, Darty, what is in store? Well, we have cleat melting conditions, and of course, your Boomer Sooner sad stat of the day next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Go to at G-Bag Nation on X. You will get the G-Bag Nation's 2024 Tour Day DFW schedule, which is Saturday. We're bringing G-Bag Nation flags to you for free. Just meet us at one of the Whataburger locations on the schedule, and we'll see you coming up this weekend. Here's the Chief.
Okay, so yesterday, the Boomer Sooner Carter Freeman sad stat of the day was Jackson Arnold, the starting quarterback, or now former starting quarterback for the Sooners, had a 1.3 QBR before leaving the game on Saturday night in Norman versus Tennessee. And that means he gave his team a 1.3% chance to win that football game. Now they turn it over to Michael Sadie Hawkins Jr. Very excited for that kid. But today's Boomer Sooner sad stat of the day comes from Joe Masato. And he informed the football public that Brent Venables, head coach for OU, has more losses at OU in 30 games coached than Lincoln Riley had in his 65 games that he was the head coach there. So Venables has already lost 11 of his 30 games. Lincoln Riley lost 10 of his 65 games that he was a head coach there. Now, I liked the Carter Freeman unbiased, of course, OU spin zone, where he was like, yeah, Lincoln benefited from Bob Stoops' players. And then it started to peter out on him a little bit. And then now Venables is having to clean up the Lincoln Riley mess. So now, take that for what you will. I just thought the stat was interesting. My goodness, Venables already losing more games at OU in less than half the amount of games that Lincoln Riley was coaching there. So it's just it's a tough deal right now.
That's copium on another level, if I've ever heard it.
From old C-Free?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just finally getting it figured out here. It's taken me a while to clean up the successful guy's mess that he left me.
I thought it was really impressive, man. It was a good
PR
move.
He took all the good players in the transfer portal with him. Come on.
It's a fancy.
Yeah, there's a transfer portal. If you're a coach that's got something to you, you get in there and you bring guys and you start winning pretty dang quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think at this point in college football, at least the way it's structured now, if you haven't won in two seasons, you're not going to win enough. It's time to move on.
Well, give Carter a break here, man. He just got a beat down. His quarterback's now getting benched. He's got Kirk Herbstreit calling his players pathetic for doing unethical, fake injury stuff in the middle of the game to help slow things down a little bit defensively. And then you also have Texas as the number one team in the country and right now projected to beat Bama in the Natty, according to ESPN's latest bowl projections. Oof. So it's just a tough day to be a Carter Freeman.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to be a fan in denial about your program. You know, maybe have seen its best days behind you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're now looking for a new catalyst. You know, you don't want to go the way of USC post Pete Carroll. That's what it's starting to look like.
Well, I think the funniest thing from college football was the fact that Louisiana Monroe being down 48 with 2 minutes to go was doing flea flickers and, of course, throwing interceptions when doing it. But that is just bravo to Louisiana Monroe pulling out all
you
the stops.
You know what? Hey, you work on them all week at practice. You might as well throw them in there.
Just
you
use
know
it in the game.
You just, you know, that way the following week, Louisiana Tech's got to work on them. You know
I
what
love
I'm
it,
saying?
Dude.
Anybody they play, yeah, now we got to work on flea flickers.
Put it on tape, baby. Yeah. Put it on tape. That was great. We also have a couple other. I saw this from Cole Kublik. Could you guys guess this here? College football has one program to not have allowed a touchdown this season. One program has not even given up a touchdown.
Appalachia and State.
It's actually
Division
even.
Division 1 program?
Oh, yeah. It's Georgia. Yeah, Georgia hasn't given up a touchdown yet.
Because, yeah, the Kentucky kick all field goals
Clemson.
Was 12.
Yeah. Did not.
Field
yeah.
goal parties.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Pretty impressive. Not that their schedule's been anything super nuts at
but
this
it's
point.
About to get a little crazy this weekend.
About to, yeah. About to get real crazy.
Up. Texas yeah. coming up.
Yeah. I'm excited about this one, man. And then how about Garrett Nussmeier, your guy over there?
LSU.
113 completions, the most through four games in LSU football history.
Yep.
So he's throwing it around a little bit.
He has played well.
Dude, did you guys see that it was 160 degrees on the turf there at Boone Pickens on Saturday?
It looked hot.
I'm like,
I mean, Gundy, I thought was going to melt.
Yeah. How did these guys feed that catch fire? Was he wearing all black? I didn't see it.
Does he wear an all black outfit where he was melting?
I've heard like 125 on the turf.
160?
160.
How hot was it up there? How's that even happen?
I think the real temp at kickoff was 104 degrees. But the
did you smear Crisco on it?
I'm like, that shouldn't be. These guys are literally baking on the field.
That turf should be banned. If it's 104 and the turf goes to 160.
What's going on with your turf over there?
That's like, isn't that going to give you burns when you slide? Put your hand down?
I'll tell you
I think the soles of your feet, I feel like, would just catch fire.
That pickle juice game against the Eagles was the hottest I ever remember at Texas Stadium. That thing.
You just feel the heat.
It was. I don't know if it was 160. But it might have been close. It might have been close.
How
hot that day was.
Well, I'll tell you what else was crazy over the college football weekend was USC taking that L with Michigan there. And Michigan just running the ball the whole time.
Michigan, what they have? How many, 30 yards passing or something like that?
It was 22 net yards passing on the day. And it was just a bunch of Donovan Edwards and Mullings. I mean, they got some runners, and Orgy was definitely getting it done on the ground. That's his nature, you know, ground and pound. So that's what they did at the Big House. USC, that stings, dude.
It does.
I mean, when a team's beating you, that's like what the Packers are doing with Malik Willis right now. It's like, we're really not trying to throw on you too much, especially in that first game with Malik Willis. We kind of have a hand tied behind our back here. Everybody knows it, but we're just going to run on you to victory. And that's tough, man. And you see it in college football. I mean, the Hurricanes, and they're playing some good ball right now. They haven't really played anybody. They won't play anybody, but Cam Ward seems to be the real deal. And he was
good at Washington State.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, this is one of those. This is kind of like a Jaden Daniels, five years.
Yeah.
And
no, he
transfer and.
He's played well.
He's played really well for them, and he's literally doing the thing where he's pointing. Who else was it? This was like a Larry Bird thing, where he would tell you what was going to happen and what he was going to do to you before he actually did it. Like, hey, I'm gonna spin left, and I'm gonna get the bucket on you. Cam Ward is doing that. Where at the snap, he's at the line of scrimmage, and he's pointing to the defense where they're running the ball. Touchdown. that's the type of cocky confidence that the Hurricanes have.
We got to remember, though,
if the U isn't back, if it wasn't before, it certainly is now. If you're doing that type of, I mean,
confidence
right there. Absolutely. Through the roof.
Back in the top 10.
That's wonderful.
His coach will give away a game, you know?
Yeah, Mario Cristobal cannot trust.
He will have
probably two games.
He will supposed to kneel the ball, and he'll try and run it or something crazy.
Their schedule
is not
just
a more
so
fun sideline in sport when Miami's got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good for college football.
Yes, definitely. And they'll be, I mean, the ACC's down. Miami's got a super easy schedule. They're flashy. It'll be fun to see how they get going here as with the playoff stuff. They're definitely performing well right now. I think Tennessee's been really awesome. What do you got? You guys have any early feelings with
Tennessee,
Bama and Georgia this weekend? Ooh. Or what do you want to say about Tennessee?
I'll say this about Tennessee. I feel like that they're, you know, people, I think they're what, up in around 5 or 6 now? With in the latest polls, that would be a team I think is going to compete for the national championship. I think they got the right mix, the quarterback, the young quarterback, the way they run the ball, the defense. That team looks like they've got the right demeanor to win this thing.
I'm with you. It seems like they've developed a bit of a counterpunch as it pertains to some more physicality.
Their coach is kind of a no, like he doesn't have time for your feelings guy. He's pretty, he's like, hey, I appreciate the kids playing hard. You know, they knew this was important to me, but you know, he didn't have time for your feelings. He's developed a pretty stout program there with those kids. They could play fast. They can beat you up.
Yeah.
They play really well on defense.
Trenches are real, and that quarterback is real, dude. He makes some throws. You're like, wow. Yeah, he's all that he was cracked up to be. Bleep hole of the week, we give it to, once again, in college football, Hugh Freeze. His Auburn Tigers lose once again, this time at home by 10 to Arkansas. Yeah. The quote from Hugh Freeze here is, "I mean no offense to Arkansas." That's how he starts, boys. I love Sam Pittman. He wants to get that out of the way first. Yep.
No disrespect. But that was embarrassing.
This is the Gavin Dawson of coaches.
How the hell did we lose to that team?
He says, "I hope he wins the rest of his games."
Yeah.
But the hard truth is if we play them 9 more times, we beat them 9 times.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Yeah. Give him no credit for the win.
After losing by 10 at home, that's Hugh Freeze for you, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day is coming up next. Zachary, what's in store?
All kinds of history was made last night. Zach Taylor not happy with this DB. And when your daughter's classmate leaks your address, that's next.